And let's look at verse number 20 and 21. We stopped off at this Song of Moses this morning. I really kind of had an attitude of just passing by the Song of Moses, and the Lord just said, no, I ain't going to do that. That's there. It's in line, and you need to look at that. And I, again, want to encourage you to have a right kind of singing in your heart and in your life, and enjoy the Lord. We're going to look at some things. I want to do a message tonight entitled, and it's a long title, so you have to listen to it. Why the church that your grandpa and grandpa went to did not dance and play the tambourine. Why the church that your grandma and grandpa went to did not dance and play the tambourine. We're going to look at something tonight. And I tell you something you always want to do. There's nothing wrong with tradition as long as tradition is biblical. It's when tradition gets out of the Word of God and annuls and casts down the Word of God like it was in Jesus' day. He said, by your traditions, you've made the commandments of God of none effect. And so tradition has to be careful. But you ought to always look back at your forefathers and ask yourself a question. Why did they do this? And why did they not do this? And were they right biblically about that? So we're going to be looking at that. I want to cover a little bit here tonight. First of all, verse 20. Now Moses gets done singing this song at the end of verse number 19. And verse number 20, here comes something. And Miriam, the prophetess, now that's interesting, isn't it? The Bible calls her a prophetess. The sister of Aaron took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Most preachers are afraid to preach what the Bible has to say about men and women for being politically correct. And I'm just not. I'm just not. I have no interest in being politically correct. I want to be biblically correct. And I'm not against anybody or anything, but we need to look at things pretty hard. Now, on the surface, and I just take it for what it says. I'm not trying to read nothing into this. It just says that Miriam, after he was done, she comes out. She's his sister. She takes a timbrel. That's would be close to a tambourine, okay? Best I can study it out. In her hand, and all the women went out after her. So she's leading this deal with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he had triumphed gloriously, and so forth. It says a pretty good statement there. I wouldn't have any problem with that were it not for the fact that Miriam is very seldom mentioned in Scripture. I mean, she has a real quick rundown when you search her out scripturally. The first time she's watching over Moses when he's in the ark, and she's a picture of the Holy Spirit in that realm. But this is about the next time you see her, and it's the next time you hear about her that makes me wonder about this time. And that's in Numbers 12, and you may be there tonight, and I'll show you why I think there's a problem. And then, by the way, after Numbers 12, the next time you read about her, she's dead, buried. I mean, it's just like something went wrong in Miriam's life. And I think it would really do us to look at this tonight, because... See, I could take that tonight and say, now, all you ladies, you need to come back to church next Sunday with a tambourine. And I want to see all you ladies dancing in the between the seats down here next. I mean, I'm telling you, folks, this is being done across the United States. It's just like, and I gave you a little prelude to this morning about, you know, greet one another with a holy kiss. Yeah, there's some things in the Bible. But I want to tell you another thing your grandpa and your grandma didn't do was greet each other with a holy kiss in the United States. And you ought to ask yourself, why did they not do that? Does that mean the Bible's wrong? It doesn't mean the Bible's wrong at all. What it does mean is this, is that some things that God allowed to be created and used and done was perverted to the point of where the church no longer could feel comfortable in obedience to the Lord and could see it being misused and twisted and done wrong. So we're going to be looking at this. I hope you have a little fun. Not after nobody. Don't take nothing wrong. Just going to. Here's the thing. I believe in preaching should relate to your life you're going to live tomorrow. If what I'm going to preach tonight don't help you in the trail of your life, I don't know what you're here for. Amen? And so I think it ought to apply to our lives. Now, I'm going to introduce this message tonight with this sad, sad, sorry fact. When I was, from about 17 on till about 21, I loved to go to dances. And if there was a dance anywhere I knew about, I'd go to it. And it wasn't polka. Okay, And so I want you to be thinking, why did Reggie go to dances? And it wasn't to pass out gospel tracts. Okay? So you just be thinking about that a little bit, all righty? All right, now it says in Numbers chapter 12, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Uh-oh. And there's an interesting thing here. It is, Miriam is said first here. Miriam, not Aaron and Miriam, Miriam and Aaron. And Aaron's the kind of guy that could be influenced real easy. Let me tell you why. In Exodus chapter 32, the people influenced him to make a golden calf and worship it. Aaron just did not have what it took to lead God's people. He's a great man and so forth like that, but he could not be trusted with leadership. Things would go south in a hurry. And Moses come down off the mount. We're going to be looking at that pretty soon. And spake unto Moses because the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Moses married an Ethiopian woman. Now, we'll just jump off the railroad tracks here. Somebody says, well, she was a black woman. Probably so. Probably so. Although I will tell you that Ethiopians, they just flew a lot of the Jewish people out of Ethiopia, what's called the Great Flight. There are a lot of Jewish people in Ethiopia. So you can't buy into it absolutely. We don't know. It doesn't say. But when you go to Song of Solomon, and it talks about the bride, it says, and when she's speaking of herself, she says, I am black. Okay? Now, there has a spiritual connotation to it, is that in darkness, and don't let your little mind go to political correctness now, okay? But the spiritual, in the Bible, when it talks about light and dark, what's it talking about? Good and evil. When it talks about black, when we say something's black or white, okay, and I'm telling you something. This whole deal that's being characterized in our media and our culture these days is hurting us. It's moving things to a gray area, and people are afraid to even say things to articulate what they're trying to say. So now, he had married this Ethiopian. I don't know whether she's black, green, purple. I don't even care. Okay, I'm honest with you. But she married an Ethiopian woman, and I'm telling you what. I don't know why, but Miriam didn't like it, and she went to Aaron one day, probably said, "Can you believe that? Can you believe, isn't that the awfulest mess she ever seen? He married that Ethiopian woman." And you know what? She might have had, watch this, she might have had some basis, because God was going to teach them that they don't marry outside their own race there. God told them, says, you don't marry those Hivites and all that bunch. You just don't do it. You don't be unequally yoked. And he specifically talked about that. But anyway, Miriam got all upset and uptight with Moses about it. And they, watch this, they spake against him. But now here's what tells you the real story going on. It wasn't the Ethiopian woman. That was just an excuse. Now right here will help you figure out what a lot of your life's problem is with people you're dealing with in life. There's usually something else going on, and they found something to take you down with. There's usually something else going on underneath the surface, but they're using this situation. They found something you did that they can have some biblical basis to say, "Now look at what he did." All right. What the real problem was, verse 2. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?" Now you tell me what's going on in Miriam's heart. She's jealous of Moses. That's why I think over in Exodus chapter 15, Moses got done singing his song. I think she was wanting attention. Now you ladies, somebody said, "Where would we be if Eve hadn't, you know, ate of the forbidden fruit? Us fellas would all be in the Garden of Eden having a blast. That's where we'd be." That flew over like a lead balloon, didn't it? Somebody gave me a little handout this morning. Said the fellow, I'll tell you this. The fellow said, his little boy came up to him and said, "Daddy," he said, "where did human beings come from?" Why, he said, "Son, God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and said that from them children came, and you can trace yourself right on back to Adam and Eve. That's where human beings come from." Next day, he saw his mama. He asked mama, said, "Mama, where did human beings come from?" She said, "Why, we came from monkeys, son. We descended from monkeys. We evolved along and came all the way back to monkeys." Little boy went back to his daddy the next day and said, "Daddy," he said, "you told me to come from Adam and Eve." He said, "Mama said we come from monkeys." He said, "What's the deal?" He said, "Well, son," he said, "I was giving you the lineage on my side of the family." Amen. Oh, you ladies, oh, it was all right. We love you. I'll tell you what, I love women. My mother was a lady. My wife's a lady. My daughter's a lady. I love women. Amen. Okay, so anyway. But Miriam got it. Something happened to Miriam. She got a little jealousy. It says, Sister Moses, she got a little jealous of Moses' leadership. I thought, but boy, I want to tell you something, folks. She said something she should not have said when she said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? I mean, by the way, I am a prophetess. Mm-hmm. And hath he not also spoken also by us? Now, I want to know where Miriam's books that God had heard write in the Bible are. They're not. Let me throw something to you tonight. You just will grow up and be mature about this. We all have a place. You know something? I didn't decide that I was going to be a man, a male. God did. So whenever you start talking on that stuff and you get on this gender stuff, I'll tell you what, you better take that up with God if you don't like it. And if you don't like the roles that God intended for men and women to have, you take that up with the Lord. Okay? There's not one book in the Bible that I know of, and if I'm wrong, I'll be gladly corrected. I do not know of a book in the Bible written by a woman. When Jesus selected his 12 apostles, he did not select one lady. Does that mean he's a male chauvinist and hates women? Don't mean that at all, does it? In fact, I don't think anybody in the world ever loved ladies more than Jesus Christ did. So you can't say that. What it's telling you is there's a role and a place for women in life. And by the way, this whole thing here, you take straight into the New Testament about leadership and spiritual leadership in the home, leadership in church, so forth. It stays right in line. Now you watch this past scripture, and the Lord heard it. You know, we ought to put that up on the door of our homes, right above the doorway and right above the kitchen table. And the Lord heard it. That'd be a good plaque to put up in the home. I think we'll do that. I never have nothing. Honey, we just will get one made. The Lord heard it. I need to be right-minded. I ain't never said nothing the Lord ain't heard. And God heard her say what he did. And the man Moses was very meek. You know what that was? He yielded his rights. He didn't have to have his way all the time. He didn't get angry about everything. And he was meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. But anyway, not going to go down through there, but you get to verse number, you can read that later, but I'll tell you what, God went into action in a mighty way. But last part of verse number 8 says, wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against me, he departed, and the cloud departed, you know what happened. The Lord smote her with leprosy, and if it had not been for Moses interceding, by the way, you want to know about leadership? Moses didn't say, get her, God, slap the snot out of her. Moses prayed for her, interceded for her. Hadn't been Moses interceding for her, she'd have died of leprosy. You don't know how to treat your enemies. You don't know how to treat those people that's doing you dirty, or trying to, even like Moses. You pray for them, you intercede for them. And anyway, the Lord said, hey, if her father had but spit in her face, she'd be put away 7 days. So they're going to put her over in isolation 7 days, and then she'd come out. And then they traveled on. By the way, did you know this? Israel couldn't travel until she could come out of isolation. Now, I just want to encourage you about that tonight. I don't know. I'm not trying to say in Exodus that she really had a problem, but boy, I'm telling you, when I watch this thing, Moses just gets done with the song. It's like Miriam's going to put up with, I ain't letting him have the show. I'm going to trot out there with my tambourines and up and dances. Now, here's another reason. This is what we're going to get into. Now, we're going to have fun tonight. I could not believe this. Turn on mic. Okay. Hey, could you, Josh, could you show the folks what you brought to church tonight? And this is absolutely unbeknownst to me. I had no earthly clue that he was bringing this into church tonight. He'll be getting that out. We're going to be looking at music tonight because she brought in something. She brought a timbrel, the Bible said there in Exodus 15. You read it there. She took a timbrel in her hand. And the best, you know, we can tell from so forth is that the tambourine, you shake it and it makes a noise, or you can hit it like this. Okay. All right. So anyway, you got it out. Folks, I want you to look back here and see how backslidden worldly this man is. Brought to church something. Josh, is this true that you're learning to play the banjo? You're thinking about it. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, when you learn to play it, you're going to have to play a special here at this church. But only one thing I'll do, I'll let you play it right from the crow's nest, all right, if you do. But I thought that was good. And I want to encourage you, Josh, learn how to play that thing. That'd be wonderful. I'll tell you, it'd be wonderful. And anyway, but I'd like to fell over because I'm going to say some things tonight. I'm going to get you all excited, okay? Now, let's look, first of all, let's go in the Bible, and we don't just kind of get instruments that are in the Bible. I'm going to read them to you. I looked it up the best I can find out. Might have left something out. Don't think so. Thank you, got them all. But here we go. There's a cornet in the Bible. There's a harp in the Bible. There's organ in the Bible. Dulcimer is in the Bible. Flute is in the Bible. Gittith is in the Bible. Pipes are in the Bible. Trumpets are in the Bible. Cymbals, bang, bang, metal, you know, cymbals are in the Bible. Psaltery is in the Bible. Sackbut, tabrets and timbrels, and a viol. Those are the instruments that I know of that are in the Bible mentioned as instruments in the Bible. Now, when I got done studying this, my heart just broke, Ralph. Because I looked at my concordance, my Strong's concordance, couldn't find it there. Went to a Cruden's concordance, couldn't find it there. I found everywhere I looked, could not find a banjo in the Bible. And my heart was broke. Banjo's not in the Bible. I couldn't find a guitar in the Bible. I thought, well, maybe Gittith. I don't know what a Gittith is. Maybe a Gittith is a guitar. I don't know. Might be. Couldn't find the word drum in the Bible. Not in the Bible. And by the way, cymbals are not drums. You can put a cymbal with a drum set, but they're not drums. The closest thing to a drum in the Bible is probably that timbrel she had in her hand. Okay? It would be a skin probably over a piece of round wood. That would be the closest thing to it. I hate to break your heart. Piano's not in the Bible. But it is in the Bible, isn't it? Because a piano, if you took the front of that piano off, you know what's sitting in there? A harp is sitting inside that piano. So what I'm getting to tonight is this, is that we need to be a little bit careful about what we say should be or should not be, and we better look it out and check it out real good. And by the way, instruments, you know, they've worked them through over the years and redesigned and come up with this, that, and the other, and stuff like that. Now, I have an appreciation. I'll be honest with you. I have an appreciation for instruments if they're played sensibly and played right and for the right purposes tonight. I can listen to a set of spoons. If they're played right, they ain't acting like an idiot. It's just timing device is basically what it is, you know. I get a kick out of watching somebody play Jude's harp, you know. I mean, there's just, I may not be godly, may not be right. I just have an appreciation for it, and I enjoy it. I was 15 years old, and I started wanting to learn how to pick the banjo. And got started, I went over to the courthouse with my dad. He was assessor at that time, and the courthouse was made out of concrete, and it rings, everything in there rings. And I heard this noise back in the courthouse. Went upstairs, went down the hallway, and I hearing this noise. Man, it just drew me like a magnet. I walked in there, and a guy named Clarence Singleton, who didn't have four fingers, he only had a thumb. How many know Clarence Singleton? There, some of you people knew Clarence Singleton. And he didn't have any fingers. Am I telling the truth or not? He didn't have no fingers here. And he's sitting there on a table picking a banjo with one thumb and making it sound like a dream world. I walked in there at the doorway, and I stood, and I never heard a banjo picked in my life. I growed up in the hillbillies. I never heard of, I'm serious with you. I was just consumed by it. Next time, my daddy went campaigning to Douglas County Fair and went over, and they was having a square dance at the, how many members of square dances at the Douglas County Fair? Oh, my goodness sake. So how many's participated? Didn't raise your hands. Oh, you won't raise your hands now. Oh, look over there. Anyway, over there was Bi and Gene Connolly, dad and son, picking the banjo with some of the other family. And, boy, they had the fiddles going in the basses. And I'm telling you what, they were fireball mailing it, if you don't know what I'm talking about. And I stood there the whole night while my daddy campaigned. I don't think I passed out a card for him that night. I stood there and watched them boys pick the banjo, and I was entranced by it. And I was hauling hay that summer, and I made a little bit of money hauling hay, half a cent a bale. I was cleaning it up. I almost cleaned the whole county out of all the money that was in the county hauling hay. And I said to my dad and mom, I said, I want to buy a banjo. And they said, banjo? What are you going with the banjo? What do you want a banjo for? I remember where I was at when I asked them. I was in the backseat of the car heading down to my aunt and uncle's. And I finally built up my courage. How many of you kids has ever built up your courage to ask your mom and dad if you could have some? And I finally got the courage up, and they looked at me like I was an idiot. They turned their heads in the back seat and said, what would you do with the banjo? I want to just old beat people over the head with it, such things like that. And they said, "Why?" Daddy said, "Well, you won't never learn to play that thing." I said, "Yeah, I will." Anyway, I went. They finally said, "Yeah, you can't." Anyway, I went to Sears Roebuck catalog, ordered me a $40-some banjo, and it had an Earl Scruggs little deal. Now I'm telling you all this to give you some history. I went nuts over a banjo. I thought drunk, eat, sleep, banjo, set up here. My mom and dad didn't sleep for 3 years. How many of you parents have not slept for your kid trying to learn how to pick the banjo? Anyway, What I'm saying is I got studying the banjo and I found out something. I found out that in most of the history of the United States that churches would not allow a banjo in them. And I read that history about a banjo and I just kind of went on by. And since I got saved and got to preaching, I wonder why in the world didn't they want a banjo and anybody ought to want a banjo in the church. And so anyway, I got to thinking about things. But do you know why they didn't have it in church? It's because of its roots and its connection to the world. Back in those times, it was mostly played in the taverns and played in the brothels and played in very worldly places and the drunk houses and the bar rooms, and that's where banjo music was played. And the churches said, if that instrument is connected to that kind of life, we're not going to have it in our churches. That's why your grandma and grandpa, some of them didn't have that, okay? They were trying to make sure they were separated from the world and that they weren't bringing things in. Now, what I did was I sanctified my banjo holy and brought it in. But then I poured holy water over and brought it in. Now, I'm going to tell you an interesting thing tonight. Now, this you need this because I want you kids to learn how to play every instrument you can play. I want you to be involved in music. I want you to enjoy yourself. And if you can't do that, I want you to sing. I want you to enjoy yourself. But I want to tell you something. Many of the rock and roll singers in the 50s and 60s and 70s came out of the churches of America. Many of the entertainers came out of the churches of America. They got their start. Dolly Parton got her start singing at church in front of the church as a little girl. You better wake up and realize that Satan's going to go after your desire to play music. You better understand this thing. It's a great area of spiritual warfare. And let me tell you something. If an instrument cannot be used for God's glory, you need to just leave the stupid thing alone. Here's an interesting thing with me. I started picking a banjo. God gifted me with it, and I just went picking everywhere. I slept with my banjo in my truck without a case. I bought a $350 Baldwin banjo in Springfield, the best banjo I've ever played in my life. I love it, and I carried it. I didn't have enough money to buy the case, so I went back and got the case for $50 about a year later. But I'd go to bluegrass festivals and sleep in the front seat, in the only seat of my truck. I mean, live like a gypsy, play all night banjo, played with groups, played with her husband, played the banjo. I lived deep drunk. I'm going to tell you something. I got saved. I was 28 years old and called to preach. You know what? To this day, I've only learned to play two church songs on banjo. Banjo is almost my God. And it's almost like the Lord said, you're going to have to lay that thing aside. For me, because I would spend my free hours, and it was a joy to me. It just relaxed me. I mean, I didn't care if the world blew up if I was playing the banjo. But God said, well, and I asked the Lord to give me the ability to play church songs on the banjo, and He never did. There are some guys who can do it and do it wonderfully and beautifully, but He never did give me that gift, and I think there's a reason. Okay? Now, the same thing to some degree was with the guitar. Let me tell you why a lot of your churches back especially years ago, you hardly ever saw a guitar in a lot of churches. And I'm going to tell you why. Was Elvis Presley up there with his guitar, wiggling his hips, suggesting immorality and the connection with it. Okay? That was what the deal was. You start picking this thing up. But the real key is, it doesn't matter about the instrument. What is the motivation that you're doing with the instrument? What's the purpose? What's your intention? That's the thing. You know, you can play a saxophone beautifully. And I've got a cousin who plays the saxophone. I mean, he can play any church song you ever heard. Has CDs. I mean, they're good. But you know what? I don't like to hear Bill Clinton play his jazz on sax. You follow me? It's not the instrument so much as what are we doing with the instrument? And I think you can take about any instrument that I know of and you can use it for God's glory if you will. But if you're just secretly using church as a format so you can get good enough to play out yonder, then see, your intention and your motivation's not wrong. It's not right. All right? Everything is to be done for the glory of God. And a lot of instruments basically had been taken over by the world and used in drunkenness and immorality. And the church cut it off because of that, not wanting that connotation. Knowing that the children of that church would connect that and say, oh, that's okay. We can will these two worlds of the church and the world together. That's what your grandpa and grandma was doing, and they were right. And let me say something to you. Anytime any instrument or any type of singing or whatever it might be or any activity becomes worldly in the church, it ought to be separated out and cut out because the Bible said friendship with the world is enmity with God. Now, we're going to get out of the instrument deal. She had an instrument, but she did something besides shake that tambourine. She danced. She danced. And she got all the other ladies out there dancing. Well, You say, Reggie, give me a biblical rundown on dancing. That's what I'm here for. We're going to preach on dancing. The next time you hear, by the way, that's the first mention of dancing in the Bible that I know of, and you can check me against that. But the next time dancing is mentioned in the Bible is Exodus chapter 32, when Moses up on the mount, and Aaron was down there with that golden calf, and the Bible said they rose up to dance and to play, and there was immorality going on, and they were back in their Egyptian ways, and first thing they did was dance. It's not starting off real good. Judges comes out. Girls, I promise you, this is why you girls do not want to go to dances. Do you know what happened? The girls of Shiloh was out dancing, and the tribe of Benjamin, all the men came and kidnapped them. They'd run out of the bushes and grab one and run off with her. Read your Bible. So girls, if you go dancing, you're liable to get kidnapped. Now, I'm going back to what I started my preaching about. Does anybody know why Reg Kelly wanted to go to dances? Why was I going to dances, Jeremy? You hit it dead center. Why do you think I was wanting to square dance with the boys? Not hardly. How's it going up now? You say, is anything wrong chasing the girls? No. Boys, be sure and chase the girls. But just do it in the right way, amen? But to be honest with you, I wasn't going there for the glory of God. I wasn't going there to pass out tracts. I wasn't going there trying to be a good witness for Jesus Christ. I wasn't there trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And none of the dances you ever went to, did you go for the glory of God either? Don't tell me you did. All right. Now, I ain't going to ask you how many of you went to the dances, but anyway. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 18 is the next time dancing occurs in the Bible. And David is coming in from victory in the battle. And you know what? The girls, here comes the girls again with their tambourines and dancing. And they come out there dancing, singing this song. Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And boy, they just stirred up the biggest jealousy pot you've ever seen in your life. And they caused all kinds of killing. You listen to this. They caused literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to die because of the jealousy they stirred up, because the next verse says, and from that point on, Saul eyed David. That dancing and singing that junk created jealousy and created a war in that country. Don't tell me dancing's got a good connection in the Bible. It does not. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, the Amalekites had come and stole David's wives and all the fellows' wives and all their children. And they stole all the spoil, got off over there in the country. And David, of course, took off after them, found them down in there. And you know how come he was able to whoop them so easy? Because they were celebrating. The Bible said they was out dancing and having a big time, enjoying all the spoil that they had taken. And if they'd have been smart, they'd have wouldn't been dancing and drinking and partying. They'd have been watching out for somebody coming after their women folk. But the dancing took their guard down. And they got whooped. Next time you find it is this, and this was one of the greatest passages of Scripture about not only instruments and music and dance in the Bible, it's probably one of the core things. David has decided he has the best intentions in the world. He wants to bring the Ark of God back up and put it in the center of Israel. It had been captured by the Philistines, set over there in another place for a while. He wants to bring it up so it's the center of Israel's worship. And so here comes David. You know what David did? Now watch this. David put the ark on a new cart. How many knows what's wrong with that? Four men supposed to carry it. Where did he get the idea of putting it on a cart at? From the Philistines. The Philistines sent it up on a cart led by some milk cows. Alrighty? God never said for that ark to be carried that way. It'd be carried on the shoulders. He was an apt. You know what David did? Watch this. David picked up the ways of the world about doing God's work. David said, we're going to do this like the Philistines did it. That was pretty neat. Nobody will have to carry that thing on the shoulders. We'll put it on a cart and carry it up there. Absolutely disobedient to God. And you know what David's doing? That cart's going up through there, and David's honking it on. He's dancing and having himself a big time. And all of a sudden, the cart hit a rock or something, and it jolted. And Uzziah reached up to steady it, keep it from falling off. God killed him. And David got mad at God over it. Just like people, they get mad because God kills out this junk of when they're trying to... See, this is where your forefathers got the understanding of this great truth. The ends do not justify the means. or the means does not justify the ends. In other words, just because you're wanting to lead people to Christ doesn't mean you should chew tobacco to win them. You say, well, oh boy, my neighbor, he dips gold, and so I want to win the Lord, so I'm going to dip gold. I want to be able to identify him. Why, Paul said, I bet all things to all men that it might by all means win some. Well, if that's the case, why don't you just go commit adultery to win the adulterers? Why don't you just go get drunk? See, that don't fly. It never did fly, still don't fly, never will fly. And what this thing is teaching you is that, David could have bumped up and said, well, I was trying to worship God. I was trying to do the work of God. God said, got a way to do it. That's why the Bible said that he said, do things decently and in order. What does it mean? What does it mean when God says do it in order? That doesn't mean sit there like a stone and do nothing. What it means is do it like God said do it. That's what in order means. All right? Okay. Well, David gets up there in Psalms chapter 150. You can go there and look at it. He finishes out the book of Psalms with a couple of songs there right at the last talks about worship here. Because I'm talking about why did your grandpa and grandma and their churches not dance and play the tambourine? That's what we're getting to. Psalms 149 verse 3 says, David said, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. Go to Psalms 150, right across the deal. It says, verse number 2 says, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and the harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Now you got people running around saying that all that means that you ought to have the rock band in the church. You put drums in the church. And I said, I does not say that at all. It does not say drums. It is not drums. It's cymbals. And cymbals are not drums. Cymbals can be, maybe, have been, are many times part of a drum set, but they're not drums. Cymbals are something you bang together. They're metal. And by the way, the Bible is very specific about them. It talks about high cymbals and your low cymbals. Your big ones that make the big noise and your little. And by the way, you play in some high school band. You know what you're talking about when it says cymbals. We ain't that dumb. But you got people now saying, well, that's why they're using that for basis that they can for drums. That's not right to do that. That's twisting the scriptures. By the way, can I say further? It's twisting the scriptures to our own destruction. Don't make the Bible say things it does not say. But it does say there, praise him with the timbrel. That's what Miriam had in her hand. And it says, praise him with the dance. So now, Reggie Kelly gets up next Sunday. I want you women with your tambourines. We're going to buy 50 tambourines and have them here next Sunday. Picture us up when you come in. And while we're having our song service, I expect you women to be rolling around this church or shaking your tambourines and dancing. How many think that'd be a good deal? How many of you ladies want to be involved in the dance next Sunday? Well, what's the matter? It's Bible. You see, in your spirit, you know that's not connected in this culture, in this day and time. You know that's not connected with spirituality. What if I said, now, folks, I'm going to tell you one thing. Be sure and be here 3 weeks from Sunday night. We're going to take the pulpit down there, open this sucker up. We're having a square dance. Hey, grin, okay? I'm not. It's okay. I'm not really doing that. Well, I'll tell you what, so you should see some of the faces I see. I already could see some of you men saying, ain't nobody dancing with my wife. Right, go up here. Let me tell you what's wrong with dancing. Let me tell you why your grandpa and your grandma didn't obey the scriptures here. Let me tell you why they're so old fashioned, no fuddy duddy. Because they knew when you go to dances, the whole purpose is that you're to come in contact with the opposite gender. Right? And they knew good and well that many a man had been killed, shot, in a drunken state. He's in that square dance where they was going around, that old boy's a calling and the fiddler was a playing, and he's looking to get his arm hooked with old Joe's wife. He's waiting for that second he can hook his arm with Joe's wife. You just well be honest about it. It's the biggest cesspool for fornication and adultery that ever was dreamed up in hell. And your grandma and your grandpa knew what was going on and what it's connected to, and they said, you know what? It may say greet one another with a holy kiss, ain't happening. It may say praise him with dance and the timbrel, ain't happening. Because you know what? That's connected with the world now. That's what the world's doing, and it's an avenue of committing a lot of sin and iniquity, and we're not doing that in the church.
So your grandma and your grandpa was right, and you ought to write them a note and say thank you. That they had enough sense. It's not that it's not in the Bible. It's what it's connected to and what it can bring in connection to it. You can go on down. So anyway, that's the deal there in Psalms. I mean, let me tell you something, folks. You think I'm kidding you? Hey, listen. Church is so deteriorated, so bad now. I'm telling you what, they're having dances in churches, and they're calling them holy dances. And I'm telling you, they're getting all this stuff, and they're using these scriptures that I'm reading you tonight to justify it in the church. Okay? Ecclesiastes 3:4 says there's a time to dance. And there he is. Why some of you at a ball game jump up and go, oh, you danced. Isn't that right? You just did a dance. I'll tell you what I am. I'm with dancing just like I am with immodest dress. Amen. You want to be immodestly dressed? Just be inside your home, shades pulled down, help yourself. Just don't go out immodestly dressed. You want to dance? Get your husband tonight and grab him by the neck and say, honey, we're swinging. I don't care. Just do it behind your house or behind the shades of your house. I'm serious. Some of you old stuck-up, stiff legs ought to grab your daughter and do a dance with your daughter at least before she leaves home. You ought to chase her around the kitchen table a time or two, amen? I mean, have some fun. You know what? I want to tell you something. Dancing is an expression of joy, gladness, happiness, victory. There's nothing wrong with this basic concept of expressing your joy and happiness. It's just that the world has taken some things that God meant to be wonderful, and He always perverts them. And if we're not careful as Christians, we run back over and go, I'm not supposed to move outside like this. Loosen up a little bit, all right? Just loosen up a little bit. It'll be all right. And I'm honest with you. You want to dance with your wife? You know, just dance her right around the house. Try not to fall over the chairs, you know. I ain't got a thing against dancing in the right place. Okay? And if you can do it all to the glory of God, help yourself. You know, the truth about us is, let me tell you what Satan will do. You watch, he'll do a double play on you every time. In our desire to not be connected with the world, we stiffen ourselves up and won't even have any joy and fun in our families. And the devil will turn around and tell you, kids, Christianity is boring. It's Deadsville. There's nothing to it. It's just, you know, you can't have any fun. Can't be happy and be a Christian. He'll do a double play on your kids. And if you ain't careful, he'll do the triple on them and make them bitter over and he'll throw you out the plate. You watch that thing. I'm going to tell you, there needs to be some joy and happiness. You know what? If dad comes home and says, I got a dollar raise, you ought to grab mama, you ought to grab all the kids and dance around the kitchen table. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm going to tell you, here it is. Reggie, say you believe in dancing? I believe in dancing. Biblically, scripturally, but spiritually right, in the right places, for the right reasons, at the right time. And if you don't, by the way, you don't have to do a thing I say or believe nothing I say. I'm just preaching it, amen. When I get done, I'm going home. I ain't worrying about you. You do with it what you want to. I can tell right now, some of you just can't wait to get home to dance. Hey, Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, he said, we have piped, but you have not danced. Jesus said, we gave you some good news, but you wasn't happy about it. You sit there like a knot on a log. Luke 15, prodigal son comes home. The elder son's out there, comes out of the house. And what the Bible said he heard inside the house? Music and dancing. Woo! He's home! There's times when you ought to dance. I'll tell you what I believe, when a soldier comes home, it's a time for dancing, amen. I'll tell you what, you ought to be happy about something. If you can't do nothing, jump. Hey, can I give you some good advice? Jump and move before you can't. Yeah. Yeah, man. That's exactly right. I'll tell you one thing. Listen, I'll tell you, you kids never say, I never did promote and I never did preach in this pulpit to sour up and puff up and stiff up. Live your life, have a good time, have a blast. Every couple I marry, you know what I tell them? Have a blast. Get on your honeymoon, have a good time, have a blast. All your life, have a blast. Enjoy each other. Anyway, and then here's the last one in the Bible about dancing. Is it a birthday party? Yeah. Yeah. And Herodias' daughter comes out and dances in front of Herod. And old Herod, he got to drooling out both sides of his mouth. He has already had her mama and they got to looking at this daughter. And he said, I'll give you up to half the kingdom. She runs to her mama, and her mama, out of the hellish, venomous hatred she had for John the Baptist because he's preached that Herod and her should not be married, said, I want the head of John the Baptist on the charger. And it was through dancing that that blessed great man of God's head was cut off. You listen to me tonight. We just got through experiencing in America. We've had two Americans beheaded recently. And it's an awful, awful, horrible, barbaric, satanic, out of hell thing. But can I tell you, that's been a long way from the first one, because Herod wouldn't even stop the beheading of blessed John the Baptist. And I'll tell you how it got done out of hell was through a dance. So don't try to tell me about dancing. You know why me and Karen don't go to square dances? It ain't because I couldn't have a good time. I just don't want anybody else grabbing her by the arm. I'm just that jealous. And you know what? Brother Dean, I just don't need to be touching another woman. I know y'all think I'm a preacher and I'm spiritual, but I just have enough trouble without touching them. I just don't need to put any fuel on the flesh, the fire of my flesh anyway. And so, now, why didn't your grandfathers have dancing and tambourines in their church? Because of what it was connected to in history. And they realized that it was not having a good effect. Wasn't it the Bible said something can be good? And anyway, I'm just going to say to you tonight, I personally, and I guess you already got this, I don't think you ought to square dance for those reasons. The Bible says good for man not to touch a woman. And somebody says, well, Reggie, that's how I lose weight. Well, just go down and dance with your husband and lose weight in the basement or something, okay? You know, just do your deal. But I don't buy into that excuse very good, okay? rock and roll dancing is nothing but sensual immorality from the start. And so we answer that question, why do girls and guys go to dances? Because it promotes immorality. What about ragtime? Well, Gunsmoke, Marshall Dillon used to go into the saloon and they'd have the piano. Uh-oh, we need to get that piano out of church, because I saw in Gunsmoke they was playing ragtime and it was in a saloon. Well, you see, you just got to draw the line somewhere and says, I'll tell you one thing, they may play ragtime on that piano, but we ain't playing ragtime on that piano. See, we're going to use that piano for the glory of God. They can do with it what they want to, but we're not. And so, and polka, I tell you what, I don't know about polka. I really don't. I've never been around polka. It might be all right. Does anybody know anything about polka?
It's not all right.
It's not all right. Okay, so I'll take you. It's awful. Okay. I know. You see, us Southern folk, we don't polka. Us Southern folk, we jig dance. And I didn't have figured out. But anyway, if you say polka's no good, I'll take it. Polka's no good. Okay. We're going to wipe polka off the map. We ain't doing polka here. Okay. You're having more fun tonight than at a Branson show. Amen. And Dolores Evans is over there. Her face is red because she's ashamed of herself. She's jig danced all over the country. You say, how'd you know, Reggie? I was liar. I promise you this, she's got some in-laws that know how to jig dance, I promise you that. Oh my. Well, anyway, I heard about clogging. I don't know. I tried it once and fell over and nearly broke my neck, so I ain't trying that no more. Biblically speaking, most of the time, it's all connected to idolatry, rebellion, and disobedience to God, if not downright evil and wicked. Practically and historically speaking, your forefathers connected it with taverns, drinking, immorality, and fights. So let's stand and go home and dance. I hear a murmuring among the multitudes tonight. Some of these women's going, we ain't going home and dancing. Well, just take off your shoes and get barefoot and have yourself a good time. Amen. You know, sometimes I've been out in the field just pert near want to dance for the joy of the Lord. Just kind of jump up and down. Of course, I'm getting to the age where I jump up and down, I fall down. But anyway, it's all right. We love you. I hope you kids tonight, I want you kids to stay away from the dance halls. Okay? Stay away from the dance halls, okay? And they won't be no good for you unless you're going there to pass out tracts and leave. But you liable to get whooped when you get out of there. Everybody's real quiet in here tonight. Yes, Dean. That's right. As anything. It don't matter, folks. It can be the best thing in the world. But you know what I say? Let's take it all and do it for the glory of God Almighty. We need to do that. Amen. We can take a fiddle. We can take a banjo. We can take anything, a guitar. We can take a mandolin. We can take anything and use it for the glory of God. We can take that piano and turn it into a dance hall piano. We can use it for the glory of God. And so whatsoever we do, do it to the glory of God. Brother Ralph, would you dismiss us tonight from church, please?